The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Well, destroy nature and you destroy the economy. That's according to a top European Central Bank executive this week. Frank Elderson made the comments as part of an investigation into the economic and financial risks from the degradation of the natural environment. It's believed that 72% of Eurozone companies and three quarters of bank loans are exposed to loss of biodiversity. To discuss this, I'm joined by Dr. Lisa Ryan, Professor in Energy Economics in the School of Economics in UCD. Lisa, you're very welcome to the program. When we think about this, what kinds of businesses are most affected? I mean, the number in theory from some kind of collapse of biodiversity is enormous because it affects things like clean water, but just decreases in biodiversity. How might that affect or pose a risk for what kinds of businesses?
Well, good morning. I mean, this is a very serious issue. And the more you look into it, you realise that it's something that's starting to become really prevalent in the business community. You see reports being produced in the last 3 years from the World Bank, from the World Economic Forum, from the OECD, for the G20 and the G7. So it's really something that's, you know, becoming, it's just top of people's mind. And that's because we know that biodiversity loss is they're calling it the sixth great mass extinction. And it's, I think, starting to really worry people who were not really interested or involved with the environment at all before now. And I mean, there's good reasons for this. The estimation of ecosystem services globally is $150 trillion. The ecosystem provides a lot of services to the economy, aside from, you know, any kind of environmental activism or anything like this. And this is what the board of management of the European Central Bank are saying, that even if you weren't interested in the environment, this just is good economics. And that's because so many businesses, as you said in your introduction, 72% of Eurozone companies are exposed to loss of biodiversity. So the main businesses and the areas that are, like, the companies that have been identified, the sectors, sorry, that have been identified, is the construction sector, the agriculture sector, and the food and drink. They're the ones that are going to be most directly affected by biodiversity loss. And in turn, they're also ones that seem to be causing some of the destruction as well.
Yeah, so because when you look at food production, and there's been a lot of debate around that at the moment, but, you know, in the area of pollination, there's a lot of publicity and a lot of people talking about bees and pollination, but the reality is that they're all plugged into a bigger ecosystem. There are other creatures and insects involved in pollination. And already there have been some studies done, I heard of one recently in Kent in England, which could show that a decrease in insects that has already taken place essentially is affecting the productivity and the output, et cetera, of food production in that area.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the European Commission, as part of the Green Deal, have included biodiversity as part of their big Green Deal package. And they estimate that 75% of global food crop types are based on pollination through insects. So as soon as you start to see any kind of decrease in the number of insects and the diversity of insects, it can't just be one type of honeybee that we have left. Then you're going to, of course, immediately see an impact. But a lot of the ecosystem services that we are provided with, 60% are estimated to be things like water purification, air filtering, stockage of greenhouse gas emissions. And these are things that aren't necessarily even estimated as part of those companies that we're talking about. But if they collapsed, then everything else flows on from it.
And I presume
the type of ecosystem services like pollination is more habitat, say.
Yeah, when people talk about a failed ecosystem and what may be the financial and economic cost, not to mention the human cost, we're all in deep trouble. But along the way, you know, it's not going to be an overnight thing. Along the way, could you see, for example, as you have these sort of decreases in biodiversity, that prices, food prices, go up?
Well, they will, of course, because if it becomes more difficult to produce food, then, you know, we have a supply and demand imbalance. The other thing to mention, I suppose, is that biodiversity and climate change overlap in quite in a number of ways, in that in some areas, for example, like deforestation, if you deforest, then it's crucial that you're obviously it's critical for biodiversity loss, but it's also a significant type of sequestration of carbon emissions. So once you clear a forest, you get rid of a whole ecosystem and all the services it provides, but you're also releasing carbon into the atmosphere. Similarly with wetlands, and you know this is a very topical issue right now in Europe and in Ireland indeed, re-wetting our boglands. They're huge sequestering of carbon for Ireland, but they also have these huge ecosystem services in the way that they protect us. So they filter the water, they provide a cleaner groundwater, but they also are in many countries, especially, they help with flooding. So there are a lot of different interlinking issues. But I mean, it's not all bad for businesses in the sense that, you know, there are risks to businesses, things like supply chain disruption, if, you know, if it continues. And the other risks would be regulation. Like as governments become more and more aware of this, they are going to put more frameworks in place to protect against biodiversity losses. And also just in terms of their customers, as customers become more aware, and we've seen it, say, in sustainable fashion, the use of pesticides, say, in the production of cotton, customers are becoming more aware of this and changing their buying behaviour. So, you know, companies risk losing customers if they don't tune into it.
But Lisa,
but
ultimately,
on the other hand, there are, of course, new opportunities as well.
Yeah, but ultimately, a lot of this is around increased production and greater efficiency in production across a lot of these businesses and industries. And it's clearly shown that where the wrong kinds of efficiency are introduced, it's bad for biodiversity. Are they incompatible? Is it fixable in terms of solutions?
There are solutions, and I think it will have to be probably, you know, investor and government led. I mean, the Financial Times article started with, you know, it's the ECB that's, like, you know, calling a warning on this. And that's because, you know, there is indication that credit ratings may be affected by governments if they don't include biodiversity, because, you know, there's a risk that the sovereign creditworthiness will be at risk, and also default probability. So governments need to step in. And I suppose the option is either you pay now to protect your biodiversity, or you risk having a lot of your economy and supply chains struggling later on.
Okay,
so it's a little bit like the climate change discussion. You pay up front and you get the benefits. But if you don't, you're kicking a can down the road, and it could be catastrophic everybody, really.
A very clear warning there, but perhaps some opportunities along the way if companies do it right too. Thank you very much for that, Dr. Lisa Ryan, Professor in Energy Economics at the School of Economics in UCD.